And my main text today is from the book of Jonah. We will read a brief passage also from the Gospel of Matthew. But turn in your Bibles, please, to Jonah, the first chapter. We'll read verses 1 through 3 and then all of chapter 3. Book of Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. This is God's holy word. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Looking then also at chapter 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city, 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown." Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. He issued a proclamation and said, "In Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water, but both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish." When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Thus far, the Old Testament reading from the book of Jonah. I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 41. Matthew 12, verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here." Thus far, the reading of God's word from the Old Testament and the New Testament. It will please the Lord to take his word and by his spirit to transform it in our lives into service for himself. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. Let us bow in prayer. Lord, we thank you for every word that proceeds from you. Sometimes, Lord, we miss things in our hurriedness, in our desire to finish reading. We pray this morning that we will pay close attention to what you have to say to us, that we will see how these things apply in our lives, and that we would indeed be doers and not only hearers of the word, that we would be proclaimers of it, even as Jonah was of old. But we thank you, Lord, that you have given us the opportunity also to tell others what you have to say. We pray that those who do hear, whether in this place or in any other, would repent as did the people of Nineveh long ago. We ask now in Jesus' name, amen. I've always been blessed in finding material for use with the Lord's Supper in parts of the Bible where we do not usually look for such instruction. We no doubt have looked in the obvious places concerning the Lord's Supper, those passages having to do with Christ and his disciples, let us say in the upper room at Passover and just before the crucifixion. Today I want us to look into the book of Jonah in the brief way that we have read to you already. This is the account of the man who was swallowed by a great fish. We know little about how that all came about other than the descriptions that are given to us. We did not go into detail with that part of it today. But there is here something I think that we all can benefit from. Let me say first that Jonah was a prophet in the 8th century before Christ. He lived in the northern kingdom at that time in a place called Gath-Hepher. And although probably Nazareth was not in existence at that point, that place, Gath-Hepher, is very close to where Nazareth was founded at some point. His life was lived during the same period as Hosea and Amos. He was, therefore, their contemporary. On the basis of 2 Kings 14:25, we believe that Jonah was indeed a true prophet of the Lord. His disobedience that is set forth in the book of Jonah notwithstanding, he was a man of God because his words came to pass. That is the conclusion of that brief verse in 2 Kings, where he said the borders of Israel will be in certain places, and then this came to pass. And when the words of one claiming to be a prophet came to pass, then that was evidence that he spoke the truth. Jonah's problem lay in his inability to appreciate the wideness of God's mercy. There's a hymn, I haven't seen it in a long time, but it goes like this. There is a wideness in God's mercy like the wideness of the sea. And one of the things that I think we'll see in our study this morning is that God's mercy is truly wider than sometimes we believe it to be. Now, we're looking for something in Jonah that points to or helps to explain the Lord's Supper. This is part of our instruction, our preparation for coming to the Lord's table. And I would suggest to you this morning that that something in the book of Jonah is the phrase, the presence of the Lord. Verse 3 says, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. It is well stated in many Reformed positions that the Lord's Supper is the occasion of the real presence of the Lord. And this is usually set over against the Roman Catholic idea that the bread becomes the body of Christ, the wine becomes the blood of Christ, and he is actually present in that sense. But in our Reformed understanding, there is a real presence, but it's not in the material things, but it's a spiritual presence of the Lord. We believe that the living, resurrected, ascended Christ is actually present in spirit, and that we may take him to ourselves as the imagery of eating and drinking suggests. Calvin in his Institutes has a very helpful passage there concerning the Lord's Supper, that we actually become united to his body spiritually through our participation in the Lord's Supper. It's the presence of the Lord that makes possible our being in union with him. And when we speak of communion, it's really the combination of the words common and union. We have common union. We are related to one another in the Lord, but to him specifically as we come to the Lord's table. Do keep that in mind today. Now, in the case of Jonah, the presence of the Lord was a spiritual presence. This is not a matter of the omnipresence of God, but we should understand that, of course, the Lord is present everywhere. Yet Jonah knew that, and yet he said, I'm going to flee from the presence of the Lord. So he must have had something else in mind when he made a statement like that to himself or to others. I'm fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Well, God, if God is everywhere, how can you flee from it? So he meant something else than just the omnipresence of God. I don't believe that Jonah thought he could go where God could not find him. Rather, I think he sought to remove himself from the scene of a particular work of the Lord. Now, what had God done for Jonah? God had said to him, I'm calling you to go to Nineveh and to preach in that city. He had a call. This was not the first call that he had. He had been called to be a prophet. He had been set apart for the prophetic work. And as we indicated from elsewhere in the Old Testament, his prophetic work was considered to be true and real, and people needed to listen to him as God speaking to them. But in the case of this call, he didn't want any part of it. God said, arise and go to Nineveh, that wicked city. And Jonah said, although I know I can't flee from you as such, I'm going to place myself as far from the fulfillment of that call as I possibly can. I'm going to flee from your activity, Lord, because the activity with which I am most familiar is that you bless your people and you punish the wicked. You punish those that are in opposition to you. And now I see you're calling me to go and preach your word to a wicked people and to leave behind the people that you usually bless. And I want no part of that. So I'm going to remove myself from your presence in that sense. And then he confesses this later on. He says, I'm going to remove myself from the result of the preaching of your word. He says, I knew that if I went and preached in Nineveh, they would repent. I knew that they would be the recipients of your mercy. And I didn't want that result. I wanted to see them punished. The Ninevites, the Assyrians, have been a wicked, malevolent people of slaughter and bloodshed, and why should I go to them? So you see, it was when God said, now, Jonah, I'm calling you to this. He was in the presence of God for that call and for the expression of the mercy of God and the result that would come about. He said, I'm going to go away. I'm not going to be any part of that. I don't want the presence of the Lord in that sense. Now, Jonah, of course, was aware that Jehovah God was in the midst of Israel in a way that was totally different from the other nations of the world. That this was a special people and there was a special presence of God among those people, and in his case, a special presence that had to do with the vocation that was his. Jonah, the prophet, was conscious that he served always in the presence of the Lord, both in receiving and proclaiming the word. He didn't just get it in the mail. He got it because he was in God's presence in some fashion, and we'll get to that momentarily. But this was the presence which Jonah did not like. a particular presence, a particular call. When God said, now, Jonah, I'm putting you on the spot here to go and do this. Jonah said, I want off the spot. I'm going somewhere else. You find another prophet to do this that you have said I should go and do. Now, as far as we know, Jonah never saw the Lord. There are passages of scripture concerning other people, other prophets or kings, that said the Lord appeared to so-and-so. They had some kind of vision, some kind of sight of the Lord. Probably not what we would say was face-to-face, but they had an appearance of the Lord. But we're never told that Jonah had such an appearance of the Lord. And I think, and this is my opinion, that he didn't hear an audible voice either. That he was not in his room at night and then there came a voice from God. In that sense, God spoke to him spiritually. In some way he understood what he was to proclaim. I don't mean that it wasn't verbal. It did take form in his mind. There were certain specific words that he was supposed to proclaim to the Ninevites. And at the same time, of course, with that proclamation, expect that God would work in the people that heard this. But he was the voice. He was the one who used his vocal cords to get the word out that people could hear. And he was used to doing that. But again, he didn't want to do it. But we're concentrating on this matter of the presence of the Lord. So how did that really occur to him? Well, I think it occurred to him by the operation of the word itself. He did have some scriptures, of course, that had been collected through the years. But whether it was reflecting upon what he knew had been written before and now was his to understand, or whether in his mind those words formed by the Spirit of God, he was in God's presence when that word was with him. And that's the way it is with us too, by the way, you see. We're in the presence of the Lord when the word is opened to us. Yes, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. And we're always in his presence that way. But we're especially in his presence when we open the word, when the word is there before us. And we're not having new revelation and the new words formed. We have the whole thing here before us, but there is God present. And then we have to add to that, there's the Spirit of the Lord. We can have the book open and it not mean anything to us. But the Spirit of God takes the word and applies it and makes it purposeful in a certain way and applicable in our own lives. And I believe that that's the presence of the Lord that Jonah experienced. Not that he wanted it, but that's what he experienced. And when we say that the Lord is present with us here, how is he present with us here? Well, he's not present in the material things, though they help us to see that, but he's present in the written word of God and the Spirit of God bringing that into our lives. And because of that, then these things on the Lord's table can also be a part of that word. And sometimes we say that the bread and the wine are visible covenant words to us, but it all flows out of opening the scriptures and having the Spirit of God apply those in our lives. So, and now we're going shortly to come to the Lord's table, and we say the Lord is here, the real presence of the Lord. How so? By his word and by his Spirit, that's how he's with us. He's not bodily here present, obviously, but he is here present by the word and by the Spirit, and he is just as really present here as if he walked in the door and was among us in that way. And perhaps we can say it's even a deeper experience of his presence. Because when Jesus was here on earth, he walked in many doors and went many places that was not particularly appreciated. But those who knew him and who knew the word of God and in whom the Spirit was operative, they could know him and say, yes, we are indeed in the presence of the Lord. So I would challenge you with this today. As we come to the Lord's table, we have his real presence. He's really here by his word and by his Spirit. Now, in terms of the word and Spirit, let us say that the presence of the Lord was very evident because the word of the Lord came to Jonah. In other words, it was brought to Jonah. That first opening of the book says the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And that would indicate to us that the presence of the Lord is something that comes to us, that the Lord reveals himself to us in that way. But he brings it to us. He comes to us. And if we're going to say, yes, the Lord is really here, it's because he has chosen to be among us. Again, remember that Jonah had no vision as such of the Lord, but he had the sense of the Lord's presence without any doubt. And we have to ask ourselves, do I sense the presence of the Lord here? Not that we can trust our senses particularly, but we can trust what the Scripture says about what we're seeing. And the Scripture says that where we are gathered together, the Lord is here. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I among them. There am I with them. And that's not just in a prayer situation, but it's in the Lord's Supper also, because of the emphasis that we put upon the presence of the Lord. No vision, but certainly that sense of the Lord's presence that the Word of God confirms. It says, yes, indeed, this is what you are to expect when you come in the Lord's name to the Lord's table in the light of his word and by the power of his spirit. Now, Jonah's flight leaves no doubt that he wished to avoid what? Not so much the presence of the Lord. It says he fled from the presence of the Lord, but as we narrow this down, he fled from the Word of God. And really, that's a horrible thing. And there are many people in the world today who hear the Word of God, but they flee from it. They don't want it. I may have used this illustration before, but I remember in elementary school, the Ten Commandments were hung on the wall of the hall that you had to pass every day. And then somebody came along and said, we don't want that word, and we'll get rid of it. And so in that sense, you see, they fled from it. And people today flee from the Word of God. They don't want it. And Jonah, in this case, in the case of his going to Nineveh, or trying to go there anyway, it was a desire to be not a follower of the word, not someone who took up the word. And yet the word was clear and precise. Verse 2 of the opening chapter says, arise and go to Nineveh. And there's not any question of what God meant there or what he said. He's not saying, oh, Nineveh is just an example of some city in Judea that you may go to. He said, go to Nineveh. Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Preach against their wickedness. Say that their wickedness has come up before me. Say that judgment is imminent. And it's very clear. It's very precise. And that's how we come to the Lord's table. We come to the Lord's table with that kind of preciseness. Jesus said, come together. Examine your hearts. Think about my body, which is given for you. Think about my blood, which is shed for you. It's all specific. It's all there. This is not a time to think about church suppers. It's not a time to think about the liturgy that we have in this. It's the matter of the Lord's death. The Apostle Paul said, you show forth the Lord's death. And that's the preciseness of it. That's why we come to the Lord's table, and the Lord is here present, saying, think about my death on the cross. And think about all that means, and then the resurrection that follows, but think on these things. So that the Lord's Supper is the Word. The Lord's Supper is the Word come to us. And the Lord's Supper is of the Word. That is, it doesn't vary at all from the Word. And we never come to the Lord's table without hearing the Word. And that's why I like personally to preach about the Lord's Supper, because you can't get too much of the word. But even if it's not in the sermon proper, it's certainly read to you. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the institution of the Lord's Supper and so forth. It's there, and we come in that word, come hearing the word. You don't eat the Lord's Supper unless you hear the word. And when we do eat, then that word is expanded to the visible quality of it that we have when we hold the bread in our hands and it's real, and we touch it, and we say that even though this bread is real here, it's nothing compared to the real presence of Christ, the reality that he is here too. And when we drink of the cup, we say not only this is a tasty wine or something like that, but we say this indeed is the Lord speaking to me about the blood that was shed on the cross. And that was real. And at the heart of that word that's spoken is forgiveness. We come to the Lord's table because the word spoken, The word that we're to hear, the word that we're not to flee from, is forgiveness. Because it says justice, the justice of God, the righteousness of God is satisfied and demands nothing else from us. We come to this table having the Lord say, repent. And so we turn from our sins, having examined ourselves. And we exercise faith, faith in what he has done for us, believing that it is indeed what brings salvation to us. Thus we know that we're in the presence of the Lord, not just because we sense it, and not just because there are words here that give precise meaning to us, but we come because the Lord is speaking to us specifically that our sins are forgiven as we trust in him. That our sins will not haunt us or dog us or drag us down anymore because he is for us. He has died for us. He has risen for us. He has come to us again to say that we are his children and that we can never be taken out of his hand. Now, Jonah had a long career of meeting with God personally. Meeting with God corporately in the context of Israel. And I'm sure this took a variety of forms for him. But in his life, he knew the presence of God. And it's important that there are these times in our lives when we're always sensitive to the presence of God. And that's why we celebrate the Lord's Supper frequently. So that we're again reminded that he is always with us. And he has a service such as this to call us to say, believe I am here, unite yourself with me, feed upon me, be in union with me. Over and over again, just as in Jonah's life, there were these times that he knew he was in the presence of God and the word of God was with him. And notwithstanding the fact that he ran away from it, that doesn't change the fact that God was present. And you know, it's something of the goodness of God and the mercy of God that he drew Jonah back again through the fish and the sea and all of that. But he drew him back again. And it says in the beginning of chapter 3, the word of God came to Jonah the second time. That's a marvelous, marvelous verse. The first time Jonah said, I don't want your presence. I don't want to be involved in this that you're doing. And he went off, but God literally dragged him back, got him out on the beach and got him in the place where the word came to him a second time. And God didn't say to him, well, you had your chance. Now it's all over. You'll no more know my presence. Now Jonah was in the presence of God again. His heart wasn't completely right. And even as you go through the whole book, there's still a lot of work to be done there. But the great thing is, the wonderful thing is, that God did give him this opportunity and continued with him and did not deny him his presence, even because of his sinful heart. Now, of course, one of the things that Scripture says is you can quench the Spirit, you can grieve the Spirit of God, and I'm sure Jonah did that in his refusing to accept the presence of God and do the work that God had called him to do, and even in his later attitude of grudgingly saying these people have repented and I knew that's what was going to happen and I'm not happy about it. We have to be careful when we're in the presence of the Lord that we don't grieve him, that we don't resist the work of the Spirit. And when we do come to the Lord's table, the Spirit is going to be at work, drawing us to Jesus, exalting Jesus, Jesus using his Spirit to impart to us that which will help us to see what his purposes are. Jonah determined to be among the Ninevites when God brought him to repentance himself. And that's why repentance is so important when we come to the Lord's table, because we're not perfect when we come here. We're in the presence of God, and we have a lot to rejoice about, but we also know that there's a lot about us that makes our presence in his presence not compatible always, and we have to turn and ask, Lord, forgive me. Because the word of the Lord is always this way, from wrath through mercy to salvation. And in a way, when we do come to the Lord's table, when we sense his presence, when we know he's here, we are saying, Lord, here's what I was, here's what I still am sometimes, but by your grace and your mercy, here's what I am and here's where I'm going. From wrath, through mercy, to salvation, from here to there. And coming to the Lord's table is part of that getting from there to where he is. Poor Jonah, he took offense at God's mercy. And I said earlier, there's a wideness in God's mercy. And it had to be pounded into Jonah that God's mercy is wider than himself, wider than his closest friends, wider than Israel. God's mercy was for the world. God's mercy was for all who will hear the word and repent and turn to God. And we have this wonderful thing where God says, you know, you're slated for death. You're slated for punishment. The wrath of God is coming upon you. There's even a time limit set upon it. But I am going to draw you out of that. I'm going to draw Nineveh out of that. I'm going to bring people into this wide sweeping mercy. And that shows that the presence of God, and not just his omnipresence, but the presence of God unto salvation is much wider than we understand and appreciate. And that's why once we've come to the Lord's table and participated in this, repented of our sins, joined with Christ, listened to his word, gained the fullness of his spirit, then he says, now go and make disciples of all nations. Yes, go to Nineveh. Go to North America, South America, the islands of the sea, Africa, Asia, all the countries and continents. Go and show that my mercy is wide. My mercy reaches all men if they will repent, if they will lay aside their wickedness, if they will put everything apart and say, Lord, our only hope is in you, they can be saved. And Jonah is a missionary book in many ways. Jonah is a book that says, go and preach the gospel, go and tell the word of God. And you will be amazed at what God can do. And that amazement can start right at the Lord's table and reach out to the ends of the earth. Jonah fled from the presence of God, but God says, come unto me. God says, don't run away, but draw nearer. Come to me and find everything that the fullness of God means. You'll never find it if you run away. But you'll find an abundance if you draw near, if you come to me. And that's the invitation to the Lord's table today. Come, you who believe. Come, you who belong to Christ. Come and find his fullness here. And if you're not saved today, if you don't know the Lord, then put your faith and trust in him. Join with the church, and you'll be welcome here on that basis. But this is the great invitation of the Lord and the great invitation of this table. Don't flee from the presence of the Lord. Come to where he's really present and find the fullness of that experience. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today that you're not a God who is far off, not a God who is unreachable or knowable, but a God who comes to his people. Comes to us as individuals and collectively as the church. Lord, you come and you bid us join close to you and have fellowship with you and indeed have communion with you. We pray, Lord, that that will happen today and will happen every time we come to the Lord's table, and that always we will rejoice in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.